Good to see you, and I hope that you're having a great weekend in this warm weather, and you're enjoying all the rain that we had this last week, and getting out on the bike trail, and enjoying summer. I know I am, and just glad to see you, and glad to be in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us here today, I would just like to welcome you, and thank you for coming. You couldn't have picked a better Sunday to visit with us, as we are in the middle of a series entitled New, and in this series, we've been talking about what it means to be made new in Christ. Religious behavior can make you nice, but only Christ can make you new. Religious behavior can make us nice, or may make us nice, but only Christ, only Jesus can make us new. And if you're like me, from time to time, you hit a place where you want to start over. You need a fresh start, a new start. You're like, I need a change. I need to start over. The best example I can give of this is growing up. Growing up as a child, we had video games. And back then, there was only two choices, Atari or Intellivision. And then Nintendo came out, and it was like video game heaven. Right, we've never seen anything like Nintendo before, and my sister and I, we played Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and we played those games over and over again. And unfortunately, my sister got really good at those games, and she started to beat me. And did I mention that she's 7 years younger than I am? And so being the older brother, that did not sit well with me. So every time I was in my turn, and I started to do bad, I hit the what? The reset button. Let's start over. You know, right? I'm doing bad. Let's start over. Let's start this game over. You know, the good news is when you're going the wrong way in life, when you're going the wrong direction, you're not stuck with it. Why? Because God can give you a new start. He makes all things new. The key scripture verses for this series is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Let's look at those verses here. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And so in this series, we're talking about new, what it means to be made new. And through this message today, I want to share with you some more just brief video clips about what it means to be made new. And so this first story that we're going to look at here as Anthony gets ready to play that video is called A Second Chance at Life. A Second Chance at Life. So let's go ahead and play that video, Anthony.
LifeChurch.tv, and it's an honor to be a part of those. And God is changing so many lives. One of those lives is Tommy Cannon. I met Tommy and his wife, Melissa, at our open door event, and they sat across the table from me and told an unbelievable story of life change. 6 months ago, Tommy was in a motorcycle wreck that changed his life. It broke his back, it broke his neck, it broke his sternum, it broke his ribs. He was life-flighted to the hospital, where his wife, Melissa, and his family met with doctors there who said, you know what, Tommy may not live through this, but if he can just make it for 7 days, there's hope. Tommy did make it for 7 days. But on the 10th day, he had an aneurysm in his brain that led to having a coma. Tommy was in a coma for a while, but one day, God opened his eyes. A couple days later, Tommy was able to raise a hand, and Tommy's family knew that God was at work in his life. But you see, before now, Tommy had never even believed in God. But there were thousands and thousands of people around the world who were praying for Tommy when they heard his story. One day, as God was healing Tommy's body, he did something even more. Tommy was in the hospital, laying in the bed, and there he had a very real encounter with God that changed his life. In fact, when his wife, Melissa, walked into the room, he said, "When I get out of this hospital, the first Sunday that there is, I want to go to church." Tommy made good on that promise by coming to LifeChurch.tv Owosso this past December. They walked into that room, and at the end of the service, he raised his hand and said, "I want to commit my life to following Jesus Christ." As Tommy and Melissa were sharing their story, the only question that Tommy had is, "When can I get baptized?" As I sat there listening to their story, being blown away at what God has done in their life, a couple of things stood out. Melissa stood out, his wife, as she sat there and said, "You know what? Out of this terrible, terrible circumstance, God was able to do so much more than we ever even imagined he would be able to do. I could not believe that not only has God miraculously healed this man's body, he has done more in the fact that he and his family are forever changed." Lifechurch.tv, God is changing lives here, and I am excited to be a part.
I love it when God takes a true tragedy and brings something good out of it. And we all know that verse in Romans 8:28 where Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This story about this guy Tommy who was in a motorcycle accident and God using it to bring about something good reminds me of another story in the Old Testament, the story of Joseph. And a lot of you know that story. He was betrayed by his brothers. He's then thrown into a pit, into a cistern, and he's left to die. Nice brother says, "Hey, let's not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery." So they sell him into slavery. He's in Egypt, working in Potiphar's house. He is then falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit, and he's thrown in prison. So it goes from bad to worse. And while he's there in prison, through a series of odd events, he interprets some dreams. Next thing you know, he is elevated to second in charge of all of Egypt. Years later, what happens? His brothers run into him and they say, "We can't believe it's you." He says something incredible. He says, "What you meant for evil, God used for good. What you meant for evil, God used for good." Some of you right now maybe experiencing some things in your life that are difficult, some things that are really hard, and you don't see anything good coming out of this situation that you're in. I want you to know that our God is so good. Our God is so good. One day I hope that you will be able to look back, just like Joseph did in that story, and see the hand of God. See God's hand moving him throughout his life and say, "Man, God is good." And I hope that you can look back one day and see that. In the meantime, I want you to remember a verse like Isaiah 43:19 when God says this. Let's look here what he says. He says, "For I am about to do something new." I'm about to do something new. "See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness." And maybe right now you might say, "You know what, Ed? I feel like I'm in the wilderness. Things are a little dry right now in my life. Things are a little stagnant, a little stale. I feel like I'm in that wilderness." God says, "I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. Our God is doing a new thing all over the world. All over the world. In fact, we're going to look at a small town with a small group of people that God is using mightily. It's a town of 5,000 people, and they're reaching 500 people. That's 10% of the population, a lot like our town. And I just see the potential that we have here for God to use us to do a new thing. And so I hope this brief video, it's only about a minute long, I hope that it gives you a vision and a picture of how God is working and moving and doing new things. This video is called A New Way of Doing Church. Let's go ahead and roll that.
Hi, my name is Pastor Terry Payne. I'm the network pastor of Lifeway Church. I just want to say we're so thankful for everything Life Church is doing. You know, we've been going now for less than 2 years, and we've seen 143 people come to know Christ. And it's just amazing to see lives change every single weekend. And one particular story I'd like to share is about a lady, a dear friend of mine named Nancy. The very first Sunday she came, I see her hand shoot up when we did the altar call, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. And I caught Nancy afterwards, and I said, Nancy, I said, when's the last time you've been to church? She said, Terry, it's been 50 years. And I said, and how old are you, Nancy? She told me, I'm 70 years old, Terry. And it's just since that point, we've become close friends. She's now served on a host team. She's involved in a life group. And it's amazing to see God change lives. So I just would like to say thank you so much.
I love that a 70-year-old lady comes to know Christ. You know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, you can't reach them when they're that age, right? They're stuck in their ways. Listen, nobody is beyond the reach of God. You keep praying for people to find new life in Christ, and it will happen. By the way, this is a key point there on the back of your bulletin for those of you taking notes. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. If all you pray for is yourself and those around you, i.e., God bless me and bless my family, then you believe God exists primarily to meet your needs. If you don't pray at all, What does that say? Either you don't believe in God, or you don't believe God's active or involved in the world today. If you say, oh my gosh, all we can do now is pray, what does that say? It says that you see God as a last resort and not a really hope-filled one at that. And God's probably up there in heaven saying, well, now you're down to me. Good luck, right? I'm your last option. You've run out of options. Just for fun for a minute here, what if everything you prayed for this last week came true? What if everything that you prayed for this last week came true? In other words, God said, I'm checking yes in all the boxes. Then I want you to ask yourself, what would be different in the world today? What would be different today in the world? For some, it wouldn't be anything. For others, it would be just their life. And for some, revival would be happening in the church. This community would be growing and impacted for the Lord. Orphans would be adopted. Those in need would have their needs met. You see, what you pray for reflects what you believe in your heart. This next story that I want to look at is called the Power of Prayer. The Power of Prayer. Let's go ahead and roll that video.
Thanks, Craig. My story from our campus is about a guy named Miguel. Miguel faithfully serves in our switch ministry and our kids ministry here at the campus. And Miguel's story starts like this. One night, he was in his living room, flipping through the channels on TV, lands on MTV, about a documentary that they do on guys that are in prison and their life, how they got there, etc. And God lays it on his heart to pray for this man who he's watching in the story named Chaz. So Miguel thinks that's kind of strange, but he starts praying for him. And for weeks and even months afterwards, he's praying for Chaz. And when he would let up, he would literally feel God say, no, I want you to continue to pray for Chaz. In fact, pray for even more. Pray that you have an opportunity to minister into this guy's life. And so, once again, as strange as that was, Miguel keeps praying and is faithful to praying for this guy he saw on TV that was in prison out in California. So, one night, Miguel's coming to church. He's meeting his friends, and he walks in, walks down, worship's already going, and as he gets to his row where his friends are sitting, he looks down, and on the end of that row, guess who is standing right there? Chaz, the guy that he's been praying for months. So Miguel does a double take, a triple take, and the tears start to flow as he cannot believe that this man that he's been praying for all these months, God has brought him to his same church a few seats down the road. So he listens to the message, is just in an incredible place, obviously spiritually, emotionally, walks up to Chaz afterwards and lets Chaz know that he's been praying for him for all these months and actually enters into a discipling kind of relationship with him and is able to make a difference in his life. Isn't it amazing when we're obedient and we believe in the power of prayer, what God can do?
Is our God amazing or what? I mean, how humanly can you pull off a story like that? Here you have this guy who's states away, and God lays it upon this other guy to pray for him. And then one day when he walks into his own church, sits in his row, like, you know, you have your spot where you always sit, and there's the guy that he's been praying for. I mean, prayer works. Prayer is powerful. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're tempted to write off and say, you know what? There's no hope for them. A dad, a mom, a brother, a sister, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. Right? Sometimes those that look like they're the farthest from God can actually be the closest. Sometimes those that are running from something can in a moment turn and run to God. So what are you saying, Ed? I'm saying you keep praying. You keep praying. I remember 5 years ago, you know, this August, I'll be here 5 years. I tell Monica, we only got another 15 or 20 more years here, and we can retire and move to Florida. You know, 5 years ago when I came here, we had 75 people. 75 people, and you've heard me say this before, I was very pessimistic. I felt clear that God had called me here, but I had a lot of unanswered questions. Like, how are we going to grow in this small town? Everybody in this town is Catholic or Lutheran. They've been going to established traditional churches their whole lives. Why would they even check out a new church? That's when I talked to my mom, right? Moms are great. They can always kind of settle your nerves. And mom said, you got to pray. You got to pray and believe. Remember, you're a pastor. Sadly, I didn't pray like I could or should, but my mom did. My mom's a prayer warrior. And when we started to grow and reached 100 people and 125 and 150 and 200 people, it didn't surprise my mom at all. Why? Because she said, I've been praying for growth, and God answers prayers. So being made new and growth and transition, what is our church about? What are we about? Let's talk for a few minutes about the what, the why, and the how. The what, the why, and the how. What is our mission here? What's our mission? Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. We want you to fall more in love with Jesus. I mean, it's that simple. That's what life is all about, your relationship with Jesus. So what does someone who is in a growing relationship with Jesus do? What do they do? What do they look like? Well, the first thing they do is they pursue intimacy with God. They pursue intimacy with God. And so we want to help you do everything we can to give you the tools to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. See, you were created to have fellowship with God. God wants to have a relationship with you. The God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, wants to speak into your life. You were created to have fellowship with God. I love the verse Matthew 4:4, where Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on what? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So many Christians today starve themselves. They're not feeding off of God's word. And so they're malnourished. They're eating one meal a week, and it's being spoon-fed to them by the pastor on Sunday morning. Jesus died to make a relationship with God possible. He died for you to make a relationship with you possible. Personal time alone with God was Jesus' source of strength. When I don't have time alone with God, I feel weak. I don't have strength. But with Christ, what I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You cannot be a healthy Christian without it. You cannot be a healthy Christian without personal time alone with God. You just can't. So someone who's in a growing relationship with Jesus, and that's what we're trying to lead you and help you and give you the tools in that area, someone who's in that growing relationship, they are pursuing intimacy with God. What else does someone who is in a growing relationship with Jesus do? What do? They have community with insiders. They have community with insiders. Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." We desire for everyone, not just to come on Sunday morning, but to get involved in a small group. And you might say, "Ed, why do I need to be in a small group? Why do I need to know people? I don't even like people. Why do I need to get to know people? I'm too busy, right? I don't even have time for my own family." Well, that's an indication that you need to change some things, because life is all about relationships. Proverbs 27:17, Solomon says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." You see, the Christian life is not a Lone Ranger thing, right? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? It's bigger than you. It's not just, well, it's just me and Jesus at the house, right? It's bigger than you. Let me say it like this. You grow deeper in your relationship with God when you go deeper with people. You grow deeper in your relationship with God when you go deeper with people. What else does someone who is in a growing relationship with Jesus look like? What do they do? Well, they influence outsiders. They influence outsiders. People who are growing in their walk with Jesus influence other people. See, you're able to reach people and invite people to church that I'll never know, that I'll never meet, that I'll never even come in contact with. Right? Through farming, through being out in the community, you see people every day that I'll never come in contact with. And why would you tell them about Jesus? Well, you tell them because you've had a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus has changed your heart. He's changed your life. And so like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, you're like, you know what? I cannot help speaking about what I've seen and what I've heard. I got to tell you about the Lord and what He's done in my heart. I used to be like this, but now God has changed me. I'm a new person. I'm not like I was before. And I can't help telling you about Jesus. I can't help but invite you to church. I can't help tell you what God's done in my life or in my marriage or in my family. I got to tell you. Well, what exactly are we inviting people to be a part of? Here, we're not inviting people to be part of a denomination or to join a church. Now, we are part of a denomination, and you can join this church. We're inviting people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Right? I remember one of my very first interviews as a youth pastor in rural South Carolina. There's a bunch of old men sitting around a table, and they were grilling me with questions and saying, "Do you think you can lead our youth here? Do you think you can do a good job?" And finally, one of the elderly gentlemen said to me, "Are you a diehard Southern Baptist?" And I said, "You know, this Bible, I just read it, and I try to live by it. And whatever that makes me, that's what I am." Right? We want to invite people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, becoming more like Him. What else does someone who's in a growing relationship look like? What do they do? Well, we're to be like God, We're to be like him, and so we're to love people. We cap it all off with loving others. If we say we love God, but we don't love a brother, a sister, or our neighbor, or our coworker, then we've missed the boat. And a lot of times I find that I've missed the boat. It's all about loving people. What does God want? God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, to find new life in his Son. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it to the full. How does this happen? How do you find new life? It's only found in Jesus. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And only he can open up people's hearts to respond to the message, right? Sometimes you want to hit them over the head and say, wake up, you're going the wrong way. But only Jesus can open up their hearts. And so you love them, you befriend them, you build a relationship with them so that you can speak into your life when the time is right and God opens up their heart and they'll receive the message. And you wait for that opportunity and you pray for that opportunity. And we help you as a church by having events like Family Fun Day in August, August 10th. Man, we're going to have out in this parking lot a band out here. We're going to have free food. We're going to have bouncy houses. We're going to have games. We're going to have all kinds of stuff here for the entire community. Why? To reach people for Jesus. Right? And my hope is that there might be one of your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors here that you run into, and for a brief moment, you have a spiritual conversation, and you tell them about how this church, and now, most importantly, how Jesus has changed your heart and changed your life. Here's a key thought and point on your bulletin. To reach people no one's reaching, we're going to have to do things no one's doing. Think about that for a moment. To reach people no one's reaching, and there's a lot of people that are lost here in Decorah, we're going to have to do things no one's doing. See, we don't just want to open up the doors here on Sunday morning and wait for them to come to us. Right? Those days are gone. We no longer live in the 50s, right, where there's nothing going on. Right? And they just come in because, hey, well, church, and there's something to do. Right? We want to take the good news, the gospel, to them. We want to tell them about Jesus. We want to go into all the world. Right? You know the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We want to go out. Right? Jesus went to look for the one that was lost. Right? The 99, you know, he said, hey, they know me. It's the one out there that I'm concerned about. This last video we're going to show you is called Going into All the World. Let's go ahead and roll that.
Thank you so much, Pastor Craig. You know, God is doing some amazing things here at Church Online. Let me just share one quick story. We had a young man who was living in the Philippines. He was just in a bad place in life. He was struggling with depression, so much so that he decided to commit suicide. Well, for some reason, he ended up finding Church Online, and he landed up on our site. He began to see the worship, he began to hear the teaching of the Word of God, and he started asking questions to our volunteers, saying, what's this about? And our volunteers began to talk to him. Well, he realized he needed some prayer, so he got into the one-on-one live prayer, and one of our volunteers began to talk to him and pray with him. Well, God did something wonderful right then and there in that life prayer situation. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And it doesn't end there. He was so excited. He wanted to know if he had anyone that he could connect with in the Philippines. So sure enough, we went online, got on Facebook, got connected with our life church partner, our network church there in the Philippines, got the two of them introduced. And now he is connected with that church and his life is completely changed. Today, that young man is alive because of digital missions and what God can do using technology.
You know, I was thinking about that brief clip and that video, and we want to use technology and innovation to reach people. Anthony is launching a new website here for us in the next couple days, and we do this not so we can be cool or look slick. We do it because we know society today, in order to reach them, we have to have a good presentation. And we want to do things with excellence. And I think about just all the things that Anthony would like to do. He'd like to get a high-end camera so that we could have our service online on video. How cool would that be? Right, to be able to watch a video online at your computer of our service. How many people could we reach that way? So when you give, when you give to the mission of this church and to the Great Commission, it goes to enhancing the quality of our service. It goes to hiring new staff, and we're in the process of looking to hire some new staff and to bring someone in to help us to what? Reach more people in the community, right? To do things better, to reach more people for the Lord. It goes to books and resources to help people grow in their walk with the Lord. It goes to Family Fun Day. It goes to missions beyond our community. We've heard some dramatic stories today, haven't we? A guy on a motorcycle who shouldn't have lived. He lives, and he finds new life in Christ. A 70-year-old lady who hasn't been to church in 50 years comes back and her life is transformed. A guy who's states away, gets out of prison, feels led by the Spirit of God to go to church, and visits the church, sits in the exact same row of a guy who's been praying for him that watched him on MTV. I mean, that's amazing. Another guy in a foreign country who meets Jesus online, and after planning to take his life, says, you know what? I have a reason and a purpose for living, and it's Jesus. Sometimes it's amazing to me how many people listen to our service on audio, right? We'll go home even to Tennessee, and Monica will tell me, you know, well, this week I bumped into so-and-so at the restaurant or at the mall, and they said they listen every week to you online. And I'm like, they do? Really? Why? You know, I can't believe it. I mean, but all praise and glory and honor to God. And they're like, man, you know, technology, it's a beautiful thing. Power of God. When we are weak, He is strong. Romans 8:28. I don't know where you're at today and in your relationship with the Lord, but I do know this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You've been called here for a reason and a purpose today. You might think, I don't even know how I got here today. I was planning to sleep in, you know, enjoy the weather, whatever it might be. But God wanted you here today, and He hasn't forgotten about you. He loves you. You're special. You're called. You're chosen. You're His son. You're His daughter. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, you may be here today, and you say, Ed, I'm just checking this place out. I'm new. I'm not a Christian. I'm glad you're here today. I hope you feel comfortable here today. I hope that you are challenged, but at the same time, I hope that you felt, you know, we didn't throw it in your face, but I hope that you felt like, yeah, I know there's something different here. I want to keep exploring. I want to keep asking questions. Maybe you came here today and you're saying, Ed, I want to start over. I need to hit that reset button. I've been playing the video game of life, and I need a do-over. Because there's some things in my life right now, some dark corners, some struggles, and I need a new start. I need a fresh start. In fact, you might even say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never asked him to forgive me for my sins. I have a belief in God, but it's never been personal for me. Somebody told me about him, but I've never made him my Lord and Savior. And if that's you today, in the next few minutes here, we're going to say a prayer. And there's nothing magical about the prayer. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And if that's your desire to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then I'm going to ask you to softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart. You know, some people will say, well, Ed, I pray that prayer every week. I want you to know that once you're in the hands of God, that is, having believed, you are marked in him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. It's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. It's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. What does that mean? It means you don't have to pray that every week, right? You don't have to worry, man, I messed up this week. God done took my salvation, and I need to pray it again because I was out and I did something I shouldn't have done. What do you need to do? You need to confess your sins to God so that fellowship is restored. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it's not a matter of salvation for you. For you, it's a matter of restoring the relationship because you're out of fellowship. I always used to tease my sister about this because growing up or in her teenage years, she started smoking cigarettes. And I always said, you know, if she burned down the house, would she still be in our family? And Dad was like, yes. You know, and then she became a vegetarian, and one Christmas the church gave me like some meat, and so I told her I put the meat in the suitcase, and I said, if it gets with your smoky clothes, will it be smoked meat? Anyways, she didn't think it's funny, but I'm glad you did. But you know, my sister's adopted. But she doesn't fall in and out of our family based on her performance, whether she has a good week or a bad week. You're out of the family this week because you done messed up bad. My sister, whew, she'd been out a lot of times. you know, that's not how it works. God loves you, man. He loves you. So you don't have to worry about falling, you know, in and out of the kingdom. Hey, this week I'm in the heaven. Had a bad week. I must be out. You know, he seals you. But you might have to confess some sins to get back into a good relationship. Hey, Father. Hey, Dad. Hey, Abba, God, Father. You know, this week I shouldn't have said that to so-and-so. Lord, would you forgive me? I'm sorry for being impatient with the kids or my spouse. Lord, would you forgive me? See, that's not a matter of salvation. It's a matter of restoring the relationship. And the good news is he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. So we're going to pray here in a second. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then I'm going to ask you softly and quietly to repeat those words in your heart. If you're a Christian here this morning, then I want to pray for you that that area of your life where you're like, Ed, I just need to start over. There's this corner of my life, most of my life, I feel like, but this part, it's kind of out of control. Would you pray for me? Well, let's close our eyes and go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that you make all things new. That when we're going in the wrong direction or stuck in a rut, that it doesn't have to stay that way. That we can start over, that you can give us a new start, a fresh start. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd say, Ed, I need that fresh start. I've never had that fresh start. I want Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior. Then I would ask you softly and quietly to repeat these words in your heart. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian and I've prayed that prayer before, but I just feel like I'm not as close to God as I was maybe last week or last month. Would you pray for me, Ed, that newness would be restored, that God would give me a fresh injection of his presence, of his love, that I would feel him today? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray not only that they feel your presence, but that they know that you love them. In those areas that they may be struggling in, maybe it's a dark sin, a secret, something nobody else knows about, Lord, I pray that you would help them, give them the strength to overcome that. I pray that they'd confess it, that they lay it down to you, and I pray that you give them the courage and boldness to share that with someone they know loves you, someone that can help hold them accountable, just someone that can say, you know what, I understand because I go through the same thing too. Because the reality is here, we've all fall short. Well, nobody's better than anybody else. We're all in the same boat, and we all got the same struggles. We all think the same thoughts, and we all do the same things. And so, Lord, I pray that you help my brothers and sisters, strengthen them, and give them a new perspective today, a fresh start. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.